Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Isaiah 55. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. My sisters and brothers, as many of you know, I am the academic advisor to first-year MDiv students. I hold a happy position of being asked to give advice, but since I have no authority, I can never be blamed. That's what my good friends Marianne Floria and William Carr are all about. Sometimes when I'm in one of those moods and a student says, I need some advice, I reply, well, buy low, sell high. Good advice. Principles for godly living. And taken out of context, that sounds a little bit like verse 2 of this text. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? That almost sounds like don't bet on a losing horse. Go with a sure thing. Almost as if we could choose the living God because he's a safe investment. But the prophet cannot mean that. So what was Israel's constant problem? What did they spend their money to get that caused them to be vomited out of the land? The answer is consistent: other gods. That's why they went into slavery both to Assyria and to Babylon. They worshiped other gods. They bowed down to someone other than Yahweh, the God of Israel. And it's to that situation that Isaiah speaks a solution. God offers to renew the covenant, the sure promises to David. Israel gave everything they had, but they gave it to the wrong gods. And so Yahweh invites them. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Why do you spend your money for what is not bread? Let's see, running after gods and spending what we have on them, of course, in a very important way. That is also our problem. We all have a problem with the first commandment, in other words. During the course of today, all of us will put other goods above God and his ways. We spend our money on what does not satisfy. But in a very important way, by grace, you and I are not at all like faithless Israel. By grace, we are not running after other gods. We are not running down to the mosque. We are not offering prayers in this chapel, first to the Holy Trinity and then to Shiva, and then, perhaps as Peter Berger told us in his very funny Unitarian joke, to whom it may concern. No. Our God is the true God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We've been taught it, and we believe it by the Spirit's power. So I would suggest that our problem is not located in verse 2. Our problem is in the sound system. Our problem is not located in verse 2 of this text, but in verse 1. The prophet says, you need to buy, but you don't have any money. That's where we may get stuck. The prophet says, come on, buy grain with no money, wine and milk with no price. No money, nothing to spend. It's free, great. But if I wanted to, I could contribute something. I'm an American. We're a can-do kind of people. We have technology up the wazoo. And we have mission statements, and we have vision statements. And besides that, we're smart. I mean, some of us here are really smart. And we're educated, and we're experts, and we're in training, and we know how to do theology or pastoral care. Some of us know how to run a business. And of course, when God first called me on April the 20th, 1952, as a helpless, squalling child, of course then I had no money. But now I've learned, and I've grown a lot. And okay, Lord, your gifts are free, but don't I have, if I wanted to, something to offer you? Do I really approach you with empty? Dear friends, we always approach God in the same way, at the beginning, at the end, and in the middle. It's always the same. Have you ever experienced a time in your life when, perhaps for some time, you were profoundly helpless and you were completely unable to change the situation? I have. It's likely, in fact, that some of us here are in that kind of a situation right now. It could be health, it could be a relationship, it could be financial, it could be something more overtly spiritual, but you were, or you are, experiencing a profound helplessness, and no matter what you tried, nothing worked. That is a terrible place. But the question is, why? Why do we experience that as such a terrible place? Maybe it's this. Deep down, you think that if you can't help yourself, then no one will care enough to help you. As Braun reminded us from this pulpit yesterday, if you find yourself in the dark, you might die. And no one likes a helpless person. And so we're afraid. We're afraid to be helpless. If I'm helpless, then it's all over with me. At least that's how we think. Those are our thoughts. Don't be afraid. Those are your thoughts. But the word of Yahweh, your thoughts, are not my thoughts. Your ways are not God's ways. God's thoughts, God's ways, are higher above your thoughts and ways than the heavens are above the earth. And it will always be true that when we come to God, we come with nothing. No money, no goodness, no thing at all. That will never change. Our way to God will never change. But God's way to us will also never change. Three times, not once or twice, but three times in the opening verse, to apostate Israel and to us, so prone to be proud and so afraid to be helpless, the prophet says, come. 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 You are thirsty? You thirst for joy and for forgiveness and peace and the love of God, but you have nothing to give in repayment? Come. And God will offer the sure mercies of David, of the son of David. He said, I thirst. suffered the ultimate thirst so that our parched hearts and lives can receive that mercy of God that is like rain on a parched ground and like cool water down your dry throat. He loves people who have nothing to offer. He loves the poor. The Son of David said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." He thirsted so that you and I may drink. You have no money to pay for 30 pieces of silver, and by his own loving choice, the Son of David was handed over to helplessness and to shame and to death to pay what we can never pay. Man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that cometh forth from the mouth of the Lord. And from the mouth of the man who paid all came these words, my God, why have you forsaken me? He will never forsake you. His ways are not our ways. If we try to buy it, all we get for our efforts is that which is no food at all. How strange are his ways. When we have nothing and approach him with nothing but our need, then he gives us everything. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked man forsake his sin and the unrighteous man his thought. Let us come to our God and return to him that he may have compassion on us, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Come, you who have no money. Amen.